So today's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day again. It's a great day to celebrate extraordinary moms, extraordinary women, and maybe just extraordinary people. Mother's Day is a sort of hard one for a pastor to kind of figure out where we go and what we're supposed to accomplish. What should we speak about today? I mean, my brain is always racking through like, okay, what is the most like heroic woman in scripture? Like, what is the one that if I say that name, everyone's going to say like some sort of chant and ah, here we go. That's the mom that we want to be. And, you know, I think of Deborah who saved thousands of people through her actions. I think of this woman named Esther who became a queen and actually stopped an entire genocide from happening. I think of a Shunammite woman who at one point only had one meal left, and her idea was me and my son are going to eat this meal and then die. And she actually generously gave that meal away in faith to God, and God provided for her in just incredible ways. There's all these powerful, incredible women who just do amazing things in the Bible. But I found as I've sort of prepped for Mother's Day, and we've talked about it and batted around in staff meetings and heard stories and things, that Mother's Day is actually also a fairly challenging time for many, for all sorts of different reasons. Everyone's sort of got a different thing that may make Mother's Day challenging. My mom actually lost her mom on Mother's Day. And I remember the weight of that then for every Mother's Day to follow. And for some of us, that's what Mother's Day is. It's a reminder of what you don't have. It's a reminder of something that hurts. Maybe it's a reminder today that you're not married, and you don't know if you're going to be able to have kids. Maybe it's that you are married and you're like one in six Canadian couples that's unable to conceive a child. And today is just a difficult time. And so as I look through some of these heroes of the faith and sort of start to talk about those as the mothers, I know what it does to hearts where people start to feel like, well, I'm not that. I'm not the hero of a mother that I thought I could be, or I'm not everything that I wish I was to my kids. Maybe you're in the midst of having really young and toddler kids, and you're just feeling like, I'm just not who I'm supposed to be for these kids. I'm running around like crazy. I'm always yelling and frustrated and not really treating anyone nicely or with patience. I'm just running, and it's just not, I can't even keep up with this, let alone do it well. And so a hero of the faith isn't going to be encouraging. It's going to eat me up. It's going to be discouraging because that's not me at this stage of life. I want to tell you that God has something for you at this stage of life right now. Maybe today you're not even a mom and you're here thinking, well, this message isn't going to have anything to do with me. God's got something for you today. I wrote some small group questions just last night for a new small group, our young adults group that's meeting today after church. And as I was writing those questions, again, we were just talking about they're going to be talking about just the reality of being outside of expectation, of feeling like you're not who you're supposed to be, of feeling like you're not yet where you're meant to be, or feeling like you haven't accomplished what you should. Have I gotten the right job? Or have I graduated university, or have I graduated high school, or did I get did I make the right career choice, or get the grades I was supposed to, or whatever it might be? All of us to some extent look at our lives and say there's something that's maybe missing compared to some of the heroes of faith. I'm not necessarily doing the extraordinary work that I've read about before. I want to tell you that God wants to make your ordinary extraordinary. He wants to show you how actually in your ordinary life, in your mundane life, in just parenting maybe, or just going to college maybe, or just being in high school maybe, or grandparenting or great-grandparenting, that whatever the ordinary life that you're living, God wants to do some extraordinary things, and we're going to talk about that today. But before we kind of get into it, I want to show you a video that we have that will probably make most of you cry, or at least me, and let's check it out. Thank you.
Tu tá indo pra onde? Tu tá indo pra onde?
Tá, vai,
vai, vai, vai, vai, vai,
vai, vai, vai, vai, vai, vai, vai,
awesome. I don't know if you had a little tear or not. I know Olympics time in our household, I know it's Olympics time because of how much my wife cries. And it's not because of the Olympics, it's because of the commercials every time. It's always those commercials, I hear it on, and she's having a little cry, and the kid's like, why are you crying? So beautiful. They do the commercials well. Anyways, the thing I want to draw out of that, there's something I found really important about that video as I watched it and prepared for Mother's Day message. None of those mothers necessarily were raising an Olympian, right? We look at that and we sort of think, oh, yeah, okay, what do I need to do for my kid to achieve that? Or what do I need to do to be a mother or someone who invests? What do I need to get them to that place? What do I need to do to get them to that Olympic level? But we don't see any of them talking to their kids about the Olympics ahead of time. We see them just being moms. No one, they're not thinking, oh, there's a tornado. Let's bring the kid in because she might be a world-class gymnast one day. They're just thinking, let's bring the kid in because there's a tornado. And it's a kid, my kid. You know, it's not like they're flying in an airplane and there's some turbulence. Say, it's okay, it's okay. And remember this because you're going to be in the Olympics one day and you're going to need to hear my voice saying, it's okay. They're not thinking that. They're just saying, you're hurting, you're scared. I'm your mom. I'll take care of you. I'll look after you. They're just being moms. They're accepting the stage that they're at. They're accepting the place that they're at in life. They're being what they're meant to be in that stage, not because an Olympian is going to come, not because of what might happen, not because of where things might go, but because they're just meant to be parents. Some of you in this stage of life, it is that you have young kids and you're thinking, well, am I doing the right things to do that? Just parent. You know, what some of you think, well, I'm single and I can't get married. It's not working out and I haven't got that all sorted out and I can't figure out what's going on or what's wrong with me. Wait, maybe there's purpose for this stage of your life, or maybe you're married and you're trying to conceive and you're not having kids and it's just not working out and you're looking at everyone else and everyone else is having kids and why can't we have kids? We got to get going. We got to catch up in life. We got to figure this out. Maybe God has something for you in this stage, right where you're at. In fact, I'm pretty sure he does. We've got this story. Eventually, I landed on a story in the Bible about a woman who I think is in some ways extraordinary, but it's shown mostly through an ordinary life. Her name is Elizabeth. In Luke 1, 5-7, we meet Elizabeth, and it says, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. So right off the bat, we're given this concept, we're given this reality that whoever this Elizabeth woman is, she is something special. There's going to be some high expectation on this life. If anyone should succeed in life, it's Elizabeth. Not only is she married to a priest, you know, not only in this community that is based around their religion, not only is she married to him, but also she comes from the line of Aaron. Aaron was the priest. Aaron was the one who started it all. Aaron was the one to whom the law was given through Moses. Aaron was the one who Leviticus was written through, the book of the law, everything. everything that was learned about the priestly duties, about the priestly apparel, about the priestly everything. Aaron was that. Elizabeth comes from that line and is married to a priest. Everyone would be looking at this woman. What's she going to do at this point? When that person says that to her, how will she respond? How will she act when at the potluck when someone brings pork accidentally? Or how will she respond at that next gathering when that person shows up, pregnant outside of marriage? How will she act? What will she do? Let's watch Elizabeth. How will she behave when she has kids? How will she treat them? We're going to learn so much from her about how she raises her kids and how she handles her household. And how she does all of that thing. It's going to be great to watch how she does that. There's this great expectation on her. It says both of them were righteous, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Righteous in the sight of God, observing all of the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive. And they were both very old. They're old, and all of their life up until this point, they've been unable to do what it seems like everyone around them is able to do. They can't have kids. That thing that everyone else was accomplishing, that thing that seemed to happen so naturally for everyone else, here she was sacrificing with her husband, being this priestly couple. Here was this couple who was serving the people, taking care of the people, seeking God, looking to God, serving the people, serving God, serving the people, looking after everything that needed to be looked after, and she couldn't have kids. One in six Canadian couples have this same challenge. They can't conceive a baby between the two of them. One in six couples. This is a kind of a big thing. Mother's Day, this is often the case for people where they feel that weight and they feel like this is never going to be me. I can't do that. And so I don't know even who I am. What's my identity? Who am I supposed to be? How am I supposed to behave? All of this identity is wrapped up often, especially in this culture, into your childbearing, into your parenting, to your child rearing. How do you take care of them? What are you doing? How do you provide a nice, strong male for your husband so that they can carry in this priestly line? You know, Zechariah probably sometimes looked to Elizabeth and said, you know what? I know, sweetheart, I love you, but I sure wish I had a little Zeki to run around with, you know? I love you. I'm so sorry that this is the way for us. But can I just tell you, I sure dreamt of my little priestly boy, you know, growing up and leading the people. I sure have dreamt of this. And I know it's okay. I get it. But yeah, it's hard. They would have gone to church sometimes, and people say, when are you guys gonna have kids? In Christian circles, it's often, when are you going to get married? They get married. So when are you going to have kids? And people are going to come up to Elizabeth all the time. So when's that going to happen? Over and over and over, she has to share, actually, even though I serve God, and even though I love God, and even though I've pursued His life for me, apparently my body cannot conceive a child, which I thought was a blessing from the Lord. At what point do you think sort of the bitterness might start to come out? At what point do you think it might not just be a conversation, but there's an edge in her about that? There's some frustration, some anger, some disappointment in all of that. And yet we see that she was righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly, but they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive. And they were both very old. See, we all have a circumstance in our life. We all have something in our life, and if we don't right now, we will at some point, where we feel like, God, I've been faithful to you. Why are you not being faithful in this area? Might have to do with relationship. Might have to do with children. It might have to do with your health. It might have to do with your finances. There's all different things that can happen. You start to say, well, what am I supposed to do with this stage of my life? I need to get to the next stage of my life. And God potentially is saying, slow down. I want to teach you something. Slow down. I have something for you here. I have blessing for you. Say, good, give me a kid or give me whatever it is. No, I have blessing for you. I didn't say, I have what you want. I said, I have what I want for you. Here, now, in this place, for you. You don't have to change and get somewhere else for me to bless you. You can get that right here. There's a chapter in the Bible, one of my very favorite chapters is Romans 12. And Romans 12 kind of starts out describing just worship to God. It describes what it would look like to give up your life to God. And then the rest of the chapter of Romans 12 is all designated to describing what that worship and what that love would look like, what it looks like to have a life given over to God. And my daughter's been memorizing Romans 12, 9 to 11, and she's going to be sharing that at her school. And then there's a couple verses right after that that have hit me in a big way and are really key for today, I think. They're Romans 12, 12 to 13. And this is in light of worship. This is in light of giving yourself over to Jesus. This is what you can have when you submit your life to Him. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Joyful in hope. One of the interesting things about hope, we often think hope is a really good and easy thing. Yeah, I hope. Hope is really nice and fun and good. Hope actually, in its definition, in what it is it's expecting something that is not yet here. Hope says it's not here yet. The thing I want is not here yet. You can't say, I hope for what is already here. You don't hope for that. That just exists. I can't say today, I sure hope I wear a gray blazer. No, I've done it. It's already happened. I can't say, I hope today I'll be able to put on my shoes. No, I've already put on my shoes. I can't hope for that. It already exists. What doesn't exist is what I can hope for. So often, we are living our lives in a state of hope. I hope that one day I will be able to have kids. I hope that one day I will be able to be married. I hope that one day I will graduate from here and I will get a career that I want. I hope that one day I'll know what I want to do with my life. I hope that one day I'll be able to buy a house. I hope that one day, I hope we have all of these hopes for our life. I hope my kids will grow up to be, to love Jesus, or I hope my kids will grow up to whatever it might be, to be Olympians. I hope my kids will grow up, but it's not yet here. And sometimes we decide that it's not yet here, so all we need to do is figure out how to bring it here. But Paul here in Romans 12, in the context of worship and giving up our lives to Him, says, be joyful in hope. Joyful when it's not yet here. Joyful when you haven't accomplished it yet. You know what, my kids can be a lot of things. Well, there's one thing that they can't be. Adults. My kids are kids. That's just going to be the reality of the situation. But there's something that happens when I try to treat my kids like adults, and very responsible adults, by the way. When I try to keep my kids like adults, I have no patience for mess-ups. I have no patience for spills. I have no patience for just interrupting, and I have no patience for when they do the silly repeating after me sort of thing, when they repeat my voice back and forth. And I have no patience for that. Adults shouldn't do that, right? And so if my kids spill their milk all over the table and it's there and in all the food, and then they start like dipping their pizza in it and slapping it around and then putting it in someone else's hair, I have no patience for that. No adult should act that way, right? But if they're kids, maybe I jump in. Sometimes not, sometimes maybe. Maybe I grab that pizza, I slap them in the face with it. Just kidding. Maybe. It's sort of like fun, and it takes out some of my frustration. No, just kidding. You know, when your kids, I walk into the bathroom, and if Hardy's in the bathtub on his own, and he splashes around, if I leave him for about like 1 second, I come back, and all of a sudden, there's more water in the bathroom than in the bath. I'm like, what in the world? How is this even possible, son? Like, you're capable of so much more. What are you doing? And it's just like, poosh, I don't know what he does, like Titanic, boom, and it's just going everywhere. And if I'm a kid, I come in, and or if I'm dealing with a kid, I come in, and maybe in that moment I have some fun with it. Maybe I become Titanic too. Maybe I start splashing as well and have a little bit of joy in the moment. If he's an adult and I have to treat him like an adult, then I come in and say, you know better, son. We're drying all this up. You're getting out of the bath right now. You're going straight to bed. And that was a lot of fun. Sometimes we're trying to turn things too fast in our lives. We're trying to, though I hope my son grows into a responsible adult, he's not there yet. So what does it look like to be joyful now, in this stage, in this moment, in this situation, right here, right now? What does it look like to be joyful now? Be joyful in your current situation. Be joyful even though you're not there yet. Be joyful even though the things you hope will be achieved aren't achieved yet. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction. Affliction means that things that you wish weren't happening to you are happening to you. You're being oppressed. Be patient in that. Patience looks like not trying to change things, not trying to move out of that stage. Some of us will find ourselves in stages somewhere along the way where we feel like, I just need out of here. I need the next step in life. Maybe it's your affliction right now is that you just don't have your driver's license. You're in high school and you think, I just need my license. I just want to be free. I want to be able to drive around. Be patient in the stage you're at. How many people tell you over life, oh, don't let that, it's going to go by in the blink of an eye. You've got these young kids, and you're, for me, I've got young kids. And I remember my wife and I getting up in the middle of the night with Isabella and just being absolutely dead. Like, just, this is the worst thing ever. And Kendall would say, someone told me that we need to celebrate every moment because this is going to go by fast. And we're like, okay, what's celebration mean right now? You know, how do you get yourself to be patient and not try to move that stage along? Because you'll be moving to the next stage your whole life until death. And you'll be done. Be patient where you're at. Maybe God wants to show you something. Patience isn't our strong suit. I don't know about you, but when I think about patience, I think of Costco. You know, you cruise around, you get all your stuff, and then you show up, and there's like 700 lines that you can choose from. And though there's probably going to be about a 3-second difference between this one and this one, you're sort of like, should I go this one? I should probably go this one. This is probably the one for me. And then that one shifts a little bit, like there's still a chance. Go, 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 go. And you're shifting over, and you see the Costco shuffle happening all through your time. It's probably going to make a difference, like the most in your life, it's going to make a difference of a minute. But you have to go and save that minute. Why? No reason except we're impatient. It's not like you're actually trying to get somewhere most of the time. Well, where do you got to get with that? I got to put the stuff in my fridge. So what? It's amazing how often we're rushed and we don't actually have to get anywhere. We're rushing and we're not even trying to get somewhere. What is it? Look, that starts to happen in our life. We're trying to rush to the next stage. Why? Because, I don't know, that's the next stage and it's good. What's God have for you here? Be patient in it. Even when it's hard, be patient in it. Even when you're in a different, difficult situation, be patient in it. I used to work for BC Ferries, and these guys would bring all the cars off, and I remember it was always the funniest, where at the back of the line, when you're coming off, they'd lead these guys, and if you saw someone come out of another aisle and jump in that line, they'd stop that car, and they'd get everyone else to go. Everyone else is off. Their whole row is gone. Everything, like, okay, go ahead. Come on. Have a nice day. Sometimes we try to burst out of our line, and we're just supposed to be running the line. We try to burst out of it, and it's way worse than if we had just stayed in. Because God's got something for you here. There's not a stage in your life that God can't meet you. He wants to meet you here. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Stay faithful in prayer. I think the reason for this is because we need relationship with Jesus. Because what happens when we've been patient in affliction and when things have not been going the way we think they should be going and we're not getting what we hoped for, it hasn't come yet, the longer we sit in that, the harder it is to trust that Jesus still has a plan. And if we decide that we're just not going to talk to God anymore, I'll deal with this myself, I'll figure this out, then all of a sudden we lose relationship with him, we lose trust with him, we stop believing that he's got something for us, and then all of this affliction is for nothing. When we're walking through challenging times, if God is with us, then it's worth it. If God is with us in the situation, it doesn't matter what the situation, we can get through it. If we decide we're not going to pray and we're not going to seek him and we're not going to talk to him anymore, all of a sudden, there's no point in being where we're at. Be faithful in prayer so you can trust him. You can keep walking with him. You can keep believing in him. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And then this is the last one I want to mention. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Share with people who are in need. I think often what happens, especially at a stage of life where you feel like, I don't know what to do. I've been waiting on God. I don't know where my faith's at. Been asking for a child for my family. I've been asking that we'd be able to start the family, and my body's not changing, and the answer's not coming differently, and we're not able to conceive, and it's just not happening, and we're not able to grow, and I don't know what's going on. I don't know where to go with this. I can't seem to get a husband or a wife, or I can't seem to just move on to the next place, or I haven't graduated, so I don't actually understand fully what my life will look like, or whatever it is. We get in a place as humans, like we're stuck somewhere that's not valuable to anyone else, where we have nothing to offer anyone. I'm stuck here trying to pray to God, and clearly he's not answering me, so I have nothing to give to anyone else. In fact, what I need is someone to give something to me, someone to give me some answers, someone to give me some resources, someone to pour into me. And Paul is saying, in the context of worship of Jesus, when you find yourself in a place where you're afflicted, be patient. When you're in hope and you don't have what you wish for yet, I want you to be joyful even in that situation. When you're in that, I want you to faithfully pray. And when you're faithfully praying, I want you to know that even in that situation, you do have something to offer. You have something to give. We all have something to give. We're not all here looking to just get something from someone else. You might be in high school. You have something to give to me. You have something to give to your pastors. You have something to give to the most experienced, most elderly in the congregation. If you're sitting there and you feel like you're not able to get married because you don't understand relationships or something, you still have something to give even to married couples. You still have something to offer to them. Your experiences don't make you valuable. Your circumstance doesn't make you valuable. Where you've been, what you've been through isn't what makes you valuable. God made you valuable, and in the context of worship, you can know that if you have nothing to offer, you need to ask for a new perspective. There's no point in your life where you don't have something you can share with someone else. And your fulfillment in your current stage of life isn't going to be found by changing your stage of life. Your contentment and fulfillment in this current stage of life is being joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, and to share with God's people. Worship team, you can come on up. Mothers are good at a lot of these things. I know what it's like to watch a mom. I know what it's like to, I don't know what it's like to be a mom. I know what it's like to watch a mom as they're just spent. They've got no energy left. I can remember Kendall and I having the conversation, like Kendall just being totally undone in the corner of the room, feeding our baby, putting the baby back down, coming to bed, saying, if they wake up again, it'll probably be the end of me. I think I'll die at that point. Like, I just don't know how to, we're done. We can't give out anymore. The baby cries, and up she gets. And out she goes, zombie-esque, and takes care of the baby. I've felt that same thing myself. We think that we have nothing to give, mothers know that there's always something to give. Today, all of us need to take on that heart. Mothers know how to pray for the kids, even when they're not sure what's going on or where it's at. And it's sort of like, God, I don't know where things are going on with this child. You know, I'll just pray for them and see. Mothers have learned that we need that mothering heart in us. Mothers have learned to be patient when kids are going crazy and they're chucking things at each other and hitting things at each other and breaking stuff and going, they've learned to be patient in that. Not to try to turn them into adults, but to raise kids. We all need some of that. God has given that to mothers. And I think on the other side of that is often where we see God's greatest miracles. Because though I think Elizabeth's life was already miraculous, already extraordinary, because she was able to be righteous and serve God, even in her most broken, challenging state, which was her entire life, she's also one of the only people that I hear angels sharing the testimony of. In Luke 1, 34 to 37, now an angel is talking to Mary about Jesus coming to her and being born from her. And she says to him, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." And then here is what the angel has to say about this special moment. He says, Even Elizabeth, Mary, you're having a doubt about having the Savior of the world in your womb and raising the Savior of the world. Yeah, that is a bit hard, but even Elizabeth who was barren her whole life, even Elizabeth who held on to right, you know, Elizabeth who walked through that thing that everyone, she was marked by that thing. Oh, that's Elizabeth. Yeah, she's the priest's wife, and actually she comes from a line of priests, but she can't conceive a baby, and so it's really hard, and so be gentle around her and careful around her. That was her identity, whether she wanted it or not. People kept throwing that on her. I'm sure of it. And then here the angel says, "Mary, you know that story, and even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." God says, maybe you think you've been identified a certain way because of the stage of life you're in, because of the lack of mothering that you've done. Maybe you feel like you failed your kids already. Maybe you're at an age where you feel like, I wish I had spent more time. My kids actually didn't turn out how I hoped. Maybe you feel like you don't have kids and you wish you could, and your body is not allowing it. Maybe you feel like you wish you could start a family and you haven't gotten married, and you just can't seem to make that happen. Maybe you feel like you look at these videos and feel like, well, those are all nice, but I can't do that. I'm in the thick of it. I can't give my kids all the things that those people can get. I just can't do it. Jesus says to us, be joyful before you get what you're dreaming of. Be joyful now, even though it's not there yet. Be patient, even though this is a challenging season. Be faithful in relationship with me. Be faithful in prayer. And share out of your emptiness. Even when you feel like you have nothing, share it. Watch how you get filled up by the Lord when you do that. When you give out of your emptiness, God fills you. When you give out of your weakness, God strengthens you. When you give out of your depravity, God richly blesses you. So today, I just want to pray for the women in the room who say, you know what? And it's going to be all different stages. Some are great grandmas. Some are high school students. Some are young adults. Some are married without kids. Some are married with kids. Some are not married with kids. There's all sorts of different people in this room who are walking through whatever different stage of life, and you're trying to figure it out and trying to walk it out as best you can. And God is saying to you today, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer and share with others. If you want a little blessing today, I'd love to be able to pray for you. So if you're a woman here today and you say, whatever you're in, whatever stage you're in, I want to be joyful now, patient now, prayerful now, and generous now, would you just stand up so I can pray for you? I hope most women will stand up and just receive this blessing today. Receive the joy of the Lord. Receive the provision of the Lord. Receive patience from the Lord. Receive what God has for you. Receive the great things that God wants to invest into you so you might know the fullness of Him who welcomes this stage in your life and is with you in it. So Lord, just bless these people. They've stood up today saying, Lord, we're walking through something. I want joy in this something. I want patience in this something. I want to walk through this thing in a prayerful way. I want to even be generous, even though I feel like I don't have enough, like I'm broken, like I'm poor in many ways. I just want to be able to be generous and giving. Lord, I pray that you would start some even Elizabeth testimonies in this room, God, that people who have been walking through things for a long time and have had a hard time believing, but are continuing to serve you and love you and welcome your plans for their life. Lord, I pray that you would start to stir up miracles, God, that we start to have stories of, this was my life forever, and yet God did something. This is what I always expected, and yet God met me. This is where I was always stuck, and yet this is where God set me free. Jesus, we welcome your work, and I pray for every stage represented in this room, for every mother represented in this room, every spiritual mother represented in this room, everyone who will be a mother one day represented in this room, everyone who wants to invest in your people and into this Comox Valley represented in this room, every stage I pray that there would be joy, that there would be patience, that there would be prayer, and there would be generosity flowing out of these women. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Why don't we all stand up? These guys are going to sing us out of here. We would love, if you're new here and you want to get connected, look in front of you. There's a connect card that you can grab and fill it out. Get yourself in a small group. Only 5 weeks left. We'll see you next week. We love you. We're so thankful that we get to do this with you. See you then.
Watch my